What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are.
Now, something that I don't think I receive from you very often, but I feel like you're putting on airs a little bit. Because not 3 seconds ago, you sounded a little down.
Yeah, I'm faking it for our audience.
You pushed.
Did you listen to last week's episode?
I did. How confusing.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to cut out this incredibly depressing conversation that we had about the current events of the world.
Yeah, because it's hard to not feel down about it.
Yeah, because it was just too depressing, and we're just not going to do that here. So
You can literally go a million other places for that.
Absolutely.
And look, will it have an effect on our mood and what we talk about? Of course. Because we're regular-ish.
I don't know about regular. I don't know about it. I'm not saying but I'm not. But
we are feeling humans, and we are not in denial of the current events. So.
But we are refusing to engage with each other.
Yeah, but we do want to talk to each other and to you for at least 1 hour a day just about food and television and the things that we did this week, which were pleasant or interesting or painful even.
Or boring.
Or boring, yeah, I love that.
I just watched a clip of La Mosaics on the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, wow.
Do they have another clip?
Read these costumes.
Don't I know it?
I mean, you kind of don't, right?
I never saw it live. No, but I've seen a video of it, and I've seen photographs of it, and I'm like, and you know, guess who we're really thanking? Eyvall, thanks Pam Danowitz, thanks the New York City Ballet, thank you Mark Happel for building those costumes. Wow. Though Harriet and I were unable to attend even one fitting, but
yeah,
we did do a lot of fitting over photograph because we were in San Diego at the time. And then I want a big shout out Brandon Sterling Baker for that one. Wow. Because to light all of those colors in a way that made them all absolutely perfect. That's Brandon Sterling Baker. Okay, I want to see what you're talking about. I want to go to YouTube. Here I go.
Go to YouTube. It's this exquisite solo.
Sarah?
And it's just like, no. I don't know this dancer. You know, what it's one of those talking about the dance. And
oh, do you want to tell me a color they're wearing?
It's, you know, I don't know what the actual color is, but it's like a blue-gray over color with some, I think, red under and the top. Is that right?
Oh, okay, Ruby.
Ruby.
Ruby Lister.
Ruby Lister.
Yeah.
Obsessed. I don't know. I mean, it's Pam, so, but, you know, there's the combination of Pam and the precision of New York City Ballet is so exquisite. It's just, it's a jewel.
A jewel. I can't wait.
Are you going on Wednesday?
Is that the 15th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Supposedly I'm going.
Are you? Okay.
Supposedly. TBD.
Wait, all of a sudden I'm like, did I buy a ticket? Is someone giving me a ticket? The New York City Ballet is in fact giving Harriet and I tickets because we didn't see it the first time.
Right. That's great.
That is nice. Thank you.
I'm hoping that they will give me a ticket as well.
Yeah.
Essentially, Pam's ticket.
Okay, I'm watching this. I'm watching this clip in silence.
I'm obsessed. I can't even with it.
I'm glad you're going to be there. Is Jack going to be there?
Of course not. Here's the thing. It's really... This is sort of breaking my rule. I've, like, I'm not going to go to the city just to see a show, is essentially my rule. But I guess I will do it for Pantano. It seems to be the case, because I did go down to see
Song of Songs.
So,
yeah. Okay, great. Well, I'm so excited. Maybe we'll have dinner before?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a plan. It's going to be based around...
You never do. You just show
up. The car and the train. But my plan, my vague plan is to come down, see the show, stay with Paige, because I haven't seen her in a really long time.
Love that.
Too long. So,
you know, I did.
Can I just stay with you so I'll see you?
I did see Paige recently.
That's so nice.
Because Paige saw Illinois and...
That's right. Because she told me this.
And Paige is friends with... our vibraphone people. Player.
Right.
One of our percussionists.
Paige went to school with Justin.
Okay, but that's true, too. That's
same
also
school.
True.
You know, I don't know what the age dynamic is there, but...
So perhaps similar, but she's
New
friends
York
with,
City
with
arts
Jess,
and stuff.
Who plays in the band.
Yeah.
In fact, Jess has the most iconic role in the band of playing those famous notes. Dong, dong,
uh-huh,
bong,
uh-huh.
Bong,
so
bong,
good.
Bong.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine fucking that up. Ooh, that would be a bad day.
Oh,
for,
my God.
For the
I
show.
Was watching these Tori Amos live performances, and I truly can't comprehend her ability.
Her skill. She's
to
incredible.
Play the piano while singing like that is, I just, I
She's
truly.
She is prodigy. She
it's
is
prodigy.
She's full classical
it's
music prodigy.
Chilling.
Yeah.
I've been watching the girls of that era, you know, PJ Harvey, Bjork, and I watched these, you know, a lot of people are doing these videos where it's like I'm a professional voice person and I'm watching, you know,
I'm gonna
to the song
judge.
And talk about
I'm gonna talk about
there's
this
a,
thing.
There's like a classical music bizarro person who, you know, has never heard popular music of any kind, seemingly.
I relate to that.
I watched her listen to a Bjork to Hyper Ballad, I think. And it was so, it's just like very sweet to like see this, you know, seemingly authentic kind of, response to the music. I like these things.
Okay.
I
hope they're real
for
you, for your sake.
I do too. This person seems absolutely bizarre in a way that I think it is real. So, and she's surrounded by like bizarre instruments.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think she lives like.
So she really is
you
just
know,
that strong.
On a mountain with like, in like a music.
With it's one hammer dulcimer, one Renaissance mandolin, a flugelhorn. So, did you end up watching Claire make ice cream cone?
I did. I thought you said she was making something else.
No,
but,
I never said that. Drumstick.
I did watch her make that. What did I think of that? Classic Claire.
Yeah.
Classic Claire. Like that she didn't seem like... I liked when she wasn't too concerned about it being perfect. And she was trying to make it better, which I also think is a better play.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we had transitioned into this modality, like, immediately following, you know...
Uh-huh.
It would have
That's
been
right.
hard. It would
yeah.
have been challenging. But we've had these couple of years to get used to... this kitchen and Claire and the way that
mm-hmm.
she looks in this kitchen and the way that like the cat, you know, so we're very comfortable with the situation. So it's interesting to like bring back this concept into this new kind of domestic space, but
mm-hmm.
I like it. I liked it.
Yeah. It's also interesting coming off of this like travelogue scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great.
It is a different It's a different show than Gourmet Makes, but just the same idea.
Yeah.
Same idea,
yeah.
Different show.
I learned some things I think I talked about this on the podcast about the Alison Roman return video situation.
Oh?
Did I not?
You did talk about how they're making these, like, kind of fancy videos that, like, don't really work for food movies. I've not yet watched even one.
Well, I watched another one and learned who's directing it, and I know this person.
Uh-oh.
And...
Do you want to apologize?
No, I don't. I think it's... It was interesting. I mean, I think it's a... I think it is tricky. And I am, like, fascinated by the cooking genre or form. Episodic, what have you. Uh-huh. Like, I don't think that this person is like, failing in a way. You know, I think that they... I don't know, you know? I think that... I got some more information yesterday when I hung out with my friend who has done camera for episodes that have not come out yet.
Okay.
So I was telling them my thoughts on the show.
And
because
they were
there,
like...
is, there is, like, a dramatic, like, tonal shift because the show used to be bantery between the director, the former director, and Allison, and it was like kind of pop culture kind of things and whatever. It had its own kind of vibe, which I'm not upset that that's gone. I think I kind of maybe found that to even be annoying, but there's essentially the main thing that I feel like is missing is like what Claire really either seems to understand or is just used to, because it's a Bon Appetit format as well, where it's just like, this is about cooking this thing.
Mm.
And that's the heart of these videos.
Right.
And I think they have sort of lost that.
Because this is more about, like, look at how I live my life-ish.
I don't know that that Alison Roman means for that to be... It does feel more like lifestyle than, like, a how-to-cook this thing.
I actually really
like the mixing in of like, I like the travelogue, Claire Saffitz, but... Even those episodes are still, you come and you cook a thing, and it's very clear about, like, how this is being made.
Right. Those episodes do end up veering into, like, science, in a way. It's like, this is mixing.
Well, there was that flower episode that was really, you know,
whoa,
science, but...
That was science.
And they didn't really, they didn't make bread or...
Yeah. Look, for me...
But...
Mr. Rogers was very formative in that when we went into the screen, we got to see how crayons were made. And that really changed my life.
Truly a life-changing episode.
Yeah. And to see how the crayons were made really... Maybe it divided us into those of us who felt we needed to make and then those of us who just wanted the crayons, you know?
And those of us who wanted to just eat crayons.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yes. Well, I think, I mean, again, for me, the central point is that there needs to be a home. There needs to be a home. So, like, for me in the cooking episode, it's at the counter with the person. Essentially, like, the entirety of what Claire does is, like, is that place. And
right.
I think you can go other places. You can go to the crayon factory, but you need to have a sense that, like, you've gone somewhere from somewhere. You need the home. You need Mr. Rogers' house.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just like, this is...
Wouldn't that Brie Larson show have been better if it was just mostly a cooking show where we actually learned how to cook and not, like, most of the rest of it?
I don't think so. But
like,
you get to
see Bill Pullman's son naked in the shower, cut to...
There was a much better show possible there, for sure.
Yeah, because it really had potential. It really had potential.
Are you still watching Palm Royale?
Yes, weirdly. It is truly terrible. Like, nothing
unbelievable happens.
The dialogue, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm like, is this a show? Did they plan this? Or did they kind of just, like, start filming and be like, we'll figure it out?
That is the vibe. Like, everyone's on their own. Like, Kristen Wiig seems to be, like, I would follow her lead if I was acting in the show.
Totally.
But no one can, no one, I mean, Allison Janney is, you know, perfection, always. So, and I think she matches, and I think maybe Laura Dern as well matches the kind of, like,
but this
slightly
woman,
hyperbolic kind of cartoon, but there are people who are doing full cartoon.
Well, that woman who plays the woman who's having the affair with the, like, tennis coach is truly unbearable. Uh-huh. She has no idea, yeah, like, where she is. Like, it, she makes zero sense.
Her acting choices are crazy, but I think she's, like, a decent actress. The insanely gorgeous model person.
Cindy Crawford's daughter.
Wow, she is really stunning.
Kaia Gerber,
is
one
literally
of
the worst performances.
When you're Cindy Crawford's daughter, you get to be on TV.
Well, she is incredible looking.
Well, yes.
But
what,
it's not
what
an
pedigree?
Actress.
You know, what
as well
pedigree?
As, you know, what's his name? You know, the gay butler.
Ricky Martin.
Can't do it. Just can't do it.
I
do continue to watch the show, and I really was hoping this week's episode was the finale, and it wasn't.
It really wasn't. I was like, end.
No, get to the end. So, I don't know. I guess I just feel like I need to see the whole thing. I guess that's the only. An incredible movie on Criterion called Go. Have you seen this movie?
Is this about driving or something?
There's a lot of driving in it.
I recall Go, but I don't.
It's incredible.
I don't know.
Starring Sarah Pauly.
Yeah.
Who is incredible in this movie.
And who else?
And a bunch of people, none of whose, I can't even picture them. So, I don't know what that means, but, we don't even know these. They seem to have recent graduates of high school graduates.
Uh-huh.
Some of whom work in a grocery store, which is great. And then there's like money issues and drug issues and Las Vegas, and there's, you know, it's structured really geniusly and great performances, great pacing. It's really a joy.
I do remember it being like critically lauded at the time. That's what I remember about
it. I've never heard of this movie.
Oh.
It's in the 1999 collection.
Well, somehow, I don't know why. Where was I? I was at college. I was transitioning toward moving to Seattle to be a baby ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about Go. I don't know how.
Yeah, Jack, I think, had seen, you know, maybe in 1999.
So. Different ages.
Really fun movie. Really fun.
Okay. Did you watch the finale of The Face?
Absolutely.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah's clearly, like, the best model. But when you have a client choosing, it's sort of like, who did they need?
They needed,
like,
the girl.
So
they needed the girl smiling in the commercial. Maybe
the kind of basic.
Here's the thing.
Sex girl.
When you're doing, like, a cosmetics campaign, I guess you just have to be the girl with the best skin, to be honest. You know? So maybe she just had the most easy skin to work with. She was certainly very beautiful. I mean, they were all very beautiful. I have to say, like, once we got to the top five, I was like, well, honestly, anyone. Like, anyone. Although, there's something about Ruth and her teeth that, like, don't really work for, like, television commercial. But she was a good model. She's short, but she was a good model.
Yeah.
I felt bad for her when she went in for that meeting and she got so tongue-tied.
Yeah, I thought...
That was cute.
I thought, well, she was the first one to go, so, it was... Maybe they would all be terrible, but...
I do love how even...
Like, just start talking to them like they're real people.
Even in a moment of, like, celebration, Naomi took an opportunity to, like, be critical. And be like, cry! You can cry now! Let it happen!
Well, she's producing the show. She's a producer, honey. She's like, we need these dramatic moments to happen. Otherwise, this show doesn't work. Which, I guess it didn't work enough because it didn't go on.
I felt particularly bad for our excommunicated model host in the last episode. Because I was like, she's gone.
Yeah, she's so beautiful. Wow.
But then I did love how
Zac Posen shows up in the show, which I thought was absolutely bizarre. And all those dresses were so ugly.
Wait, okay. I just have like all of these unformed, incomplete feelings and thoughts about Zac Posen because while I like
you could be best friends. You, like,
oh, we've already been through this, right? I've like dreamed about Zac. I feel we could be friends, and at the same time, I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you have a full face of makeup on this Australian model show? Why did they fly you from America to so these models could wear Zac Posen dresses when there must be an Australian designer? You know, like, what's going on?
It's so strange.
And you, like, pulled all these dresses out of storage for them to wear. It's just, like, so peculiar. I just couldn't understand it.
Yeah, but I hated all those dresses.
It was so weird.
I think Zac Posen went to school with John Fireman.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He went to Parsons.
Zac Posen did.
Yes.
That's, segues us into the Met Gala.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I hated a lot of these things, but I did adore Cola Scola.
Wait, I just have to say, to really think about a friend of this podcast walking at the Met Gala, I'm like, that's good. That's pretty great. Like, someone who's been on this podcast has now walked the red carpet at the Met Gala. That's pretty cool.
Also, and I mean, I just love the authenticity of Cole's expression.
Cole was iconic, memorable, and perfect. Everyone will remember that look. It suited them perfectly. It was stunning. It was pristine.
It
was funny. It was perfect.
Tom Brown.
Yeah.
Who is someone I never want to think about. Mm-mm. But also did something else that I really loved.
No, Tom did several pretty good things this year, though failed with Cynthia Erivo, but there were some nice things.
Yeah, I don't remember what
it was. It was not
I good. Loved Sarah Jessica Parker's dress.
Yes, by some designer I'd not heard of. A man. Named, Richard something. She looked
Richard
very
Gere,
sweet.
Richard Gere, designed by Richard Gere.
Designed by Richard Gere, for sure.
I thought a lot of things were just, like, not working. But that's, it's a risk-taking event.
Yeah, some highlights for me, to be honest, and, I'm a minimalist at the heart of it. Like, I do like extravagance, but when something's just executed really well, and it's, like, a simple kind of gesture, I tend to gravitate towards that. And I think Prada, really, all the people that Prada dressed at the Met Gala were really good. And it was, like, Venus Williams.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. I'm going to do a little Googling. Prada Met Gala.
Googly googs.
And then I thought a lot of the Loewe stuff was really... Oh, Brie Larson looked absolutely beautiful.
I don't know that I
Kaya Gerber was also in Prada. Cindy Crawford's daughter looking perfect.
Yeah, she looked incredible because she looks incredible.
Because that's just how she looks.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brie Larson.
Rebecca.
Rebecca Hall looked very beautiful.
She
wasn't
was
that beautiful?
A Tom for, I'm going to say Tom Brown, like the bird thing. I guess the whole look, I assume.
No, Rebecca Hall was wearing like a floral applique.
No, not Rebecca Hall, Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh,
whatever her name is.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't love it. It was sort of overwrought. But I did love Rebecca Hall, who was wearing one of these dresses that was sort of like dumb, like, oh, apply flowers to it. But it was like the one that worked the best. It was just like so beautiful. And she had like flowers painted on her arms and stuff. It was really nice. What else? Oh, she looks stunning. I'm looking at a picture of her right now. Very beautiful. Are you looking at her?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I don't think I like this. No, but that's okay.
How did we feel about the sand dress?
The what? Excuse me?
The dress made of sand.
Oh, I thought that was fine. I did watch a video of it being cut into like a mini dress.
Oh, which was smart.
Funny, but I also thought, and I don't know. I stopped watching it, so I was like, she still kind of can't move in this.
No, it's kind of annoying when people are getting carried up the steps of the Met Gala.
It's absolutely absurd. It's also like those like insanely just huge.
I don't love that.
Dresses.
I don't love
that. Like, we don't. This is nothing.
No,
it's just like a bunch of fabric over here.
I forgive Elle Fanning for having to be carried up the steps because she looked so amazing in that water dress. But, and it was, like, really an amazingly executed garment, but
it isn't as if we don't expect there to be steps. Also, princesses have a relationship to stairs and the ball and going to
I
the
do
ball.
Think that Elle Fanning could have walked up steps in that dress.
She just didn't want to because she's such a princess.
Yeah. I mean, she do you see images of this dress?
No, I'm not looking at this.
Why are you not looking while we're talking?
Because it's distracting. Oh, I can't do it. Josh O'Connor was there with that other person.
Mike Feist?
Have you seen Challengers? I haven't seen it yet.
No, but I saw Mike Feist in real life last night at
Broadway?
At the Illinois Gala thing, opening party. And he's tall, which was a surprise. I was like, oh, you're tall. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem tall. Does that mean Josh O'Connor is tall as well?
Yeah, I think Josh is tall as well. And
is Zendaya the tallest still, though?
No. But she's tall, and she certainly is eerily thin. But I appreciated her. Second, I don't remember the order of her looks.
I didn't care for either of them, but the second
I liked the bluer one, the Galliano one.
Not as nice.
Well,
I also think, I sort of feel like I like the design of the entry forest thing, but I feel like it might have made things more difficult for the costumes, but yeah, whatever. Great. Well, that's that.
There's a lot more we could say about the Met Gala, but we'd have to pull up Vogue.com and go through every look, and it would just be a lot. And so, look at the pictures, enjoy the stuff. I saw an amazing thing on Burr's Instagram today that said something along the lines of, like, you know, it's amazing how we celebrate all of these celebrities getting dressed up as wind chimes to walk up the steps, and yet we're not paying for our citizens' health insurance. And you're like, well, good. Interesting point.
Well, it's not like we're not paying for health insurance because celebrities are walking upstairs. You know, it's not really, like, this is a gala to benefit, like, cultural, you know, keeping fashion, you know, archived in the museum. Like, this is the, like, I think, like, basically the only source of income. Mm-hmm. Like, the Met doesn't pay for that collection. So, you know, it's not like it's nothing. So, is it, like, stopping a genocide? I did kind of feel like it was bizarre in that sense. it seemed like a good place to make a statement. You know, there was that SNL, like, wearing a tiny pin comedy sketch thing.
I didn't see that.
Is that, like... Essentially, like...
Look, it's a gesture.
I want to make a statement, but I don't really want to make a statement, so how can I make it? You know, so the joke was, like, a tiny pin that, like, no one will see, where you can write, like, freedom, you know, whatever. So, you know, I don't know. It's, like, should we even care what, like, these celebrities care about? But that's not really the point either. The point is really, like, how can you use your spotlight to make people think about these other things that are going on as well?
Yeah.
So the news seems to be obsessed with, you know, this court case going on.
Which one?
About this disgusting man running for president. So,
okay, you're doing a Voldemort thing, we're not saying the name.
it seems to be more important than, like, genocide, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Is it a problem to look at some dresses? I don't think so. I think it's okay.
No.
Like, a few hours to talk about, to, like, look at it. And then it's over, and then we move on.
It's over, and then we move on. And to be honest, I kept myself occupied with many things this past week beyond just feeling pushed down by the state of affairs.
Yeah.
And some of them were great, and I'd like to talk about them.
Okay, go for it.
Are you ready?
Number one.
Well, we had a little... we had a little cocktail party last week for Broadway designers.
Oh.
And so we were invited by David Rockwell, who's a scenic designer, and had a little event with, and it was all the people. It was Emilio Sosa and Linda Cho and maybe even David Zinn was there, though I can't confirm. And, you know, we were all there schmoozing, though I have to say my design team kind of kept to itself for the most part, and we didn't. But our associate, Chris, knows a lot of other designers, so there was a little bit of talking, and it was nice, and there was very good past hors d'oeuvres. So thank you to David Rockwell and Broadway designers. Okay, so that happened.
Thanks, David.
Thursday, Dave. I went to see James Whiteside's new piece at ABT Studio Company and Jeremy, Lana Del Rey. Okay?
Lana was there?
No, James made a dance to Lana Del Rey.
What song?
A bunch of them.
A mishmash of them.
Hits, like When I Was Beautiful, Will You Still Love Me, that one, and also other ones. But they were mixed in with audio from this incredible documentary from the 80s about these three women at San Francisco Ballet School, all of whom are in, like, different situations, but all on the precipice of, like, maybe I'm going to be a professional ballerina, and, like, only one of them will end up on Broadway, and one of them will not dance. And so there's all these amazing audio clips from that documentary, and one of the women in this dance is a dead ringer for Lana Del Rey.
Oh, what a great movie.
No, this was
Dead Ringer.
Right.
We didn't even talk about Lana's, you know, what's that guy's name? Whatever, the net.
I don't know.
Bug net dress at the Met.
Oh, I did not care for the McQueen thing. I did not care about
that. Yeah, it looked very discounted.
It was Halloween shop.
Absolutely. But that's her vibe. And they danced around. How was the dancing?
Oh, sorry. It was, I got lost in the Halloween shop. It was excellent. And James made a great piece for these studio company people. And I'm just always, I want to continue seeing and encouraging James to, like, make these dances that are the kind of, like, intersection of James's real interests, which are generally around pop things, and I think it is the path forward for for James as a choreographer, it just works so well. He understand. He has some kind of like real understanding about popular culture, youth, what have you, in a way that I don't. Anyways, I thought it was great, and the rest, these kids are freaks. Look, they are absolutely the most astounding young ballet athletes in the world, and it is insane to watch them execute all this stuff. It's really like 10 out of 10, and at a certain point, you're like, I can't watch this anymore. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like a two-hour show. Yeah, it's like a crazy Olympic exhibition, and you're like, oh,
two
no.
2 hours.
Yeah.
Not so, just James.
No, James made a 20-minute piece, yeah. And then the rest is just like, oh, so-and-so doing a perfect variation from Napoli, and then the Rose Adagio, and then, like, God. Diane and Actaeon, and then, you know, some weird other,
it's
you
like
know, it's just like a lot.
Competition dance.
It was that. It's a gala. Right. It was a gala. Okay, so that was ABT Studio Company. Bravo to Sasha Rudetsky and others for training the most astounding children in the world. Okay, then on Friday, I made Claire Saffitz's preserved lemon cake for my friend Cassie, who had a birthday, and then her husband Jesse had a book launch for his new coffee table sculpture book, which is lovely. I went to this Karma bookstore in the East Village and listened to a little talk, and that was nice. Anyways, then I went home. That was great. Then a line dance friend had a birthday gathering in Prospect Park on Saturday, and we did some dancing outside before it, and then we had... And it was, you know, it's weird for me to spend time with these people socially because I don't even... Though I've spent countless hours with them, I don't know them, many of them. And so it was one of the first situations that I was with them socially, and that was fascinating. And then Dana Swazi had me to dinner at her house, and her brother Sean Swazi was there, and I returned an issue of World of Interiors that I've been holding on to for 2 years. That was a relief. Yeah. And then, crowning achievement. Sunday, Sam Reck, my friend, had a birthday gathering where he made 5 cakes and pies to serve to friends, okay. And that was great. And I brought glass
beads. Was there a standout?
Vinegar pie.
Okay.
I'd never had it. It was like a custard-based pie with that. It was made with apple cider vinegar. It was absolutely delicious, and the pastry was perfect.
Love a pie.
And then... That night, I went to see Steve Reich, Music for 18 Musicians, at BAM, which is, it's the greatest, it's one of the greatest pieces to see live. And though I will say whoever kind of produced this show, how do I say this? This is not a show that requires a great deal of production, but they decided that we are stupid people and did... a kind of light show behind it on the scrim with colors and gobos and the floor. And I was like, are you fucking joking? We're watching a 1 hour piece. Our attention span is on these incredible musicians pulling off this like marathon of minimalism. And now you are going to treat us like we're stupid children by changing the backdrop from like leaves to like squiggles to green.
It does kind of make me want to see like a version of this, of like Radio City Music Christmas Spectacular, you know, where it's just like 1,000,000% spectacle with the music. That seems also like it would be something. This seems like hardly anything, but also just like irritating.
Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway. Somebody is an idiot. Lots of somebodies, I guess. All of us.
Yeah. Anyways, but still,
but you could just close your eyes.
Yeah, and it couldn't spoil how amazing the music was.
That's the nice part. You couldn't just look somewhere else. Or...
And my friends Greg and John were there, who are... music friends, and it was nice to get to debrief with them afterwards. And That's been my week, and then all this Illinois stuff, and now the show's, like, not only is it really open, but now it's also been, like, had its little celebration, and all these nominations,
and it's great. And things have settled in, you're kind of done now?
Well, I'm still going in for fittings, but it's, you know, things are looking good, and our associate Chris and our assistant Ricky are doing all kinds of, like, documentation with spreadsheets, with links, and all this tedious stuff that I'm so grateful that Harriet and I are released from. And, yeah, the show's looking good. I spent a lot of my time last night watching this musician, Elijah, who's one of the singers, and this this great shirt, that a Ted Baker shirt that Chris found at Nordstrom for him to wear under his moth wings, and it just works. It's just so beautiful. I'm so, so glad to have help.
Yeah.
And
it's good to have help.
Yeah. We need, it takes a team sometimes. That's it.
Well, that's nice. I saw a dance by Nemo Florent or something. I'm not exactly sure now. You know, like a public space dance for the Van Cleef and Arpels thing, you know, that Pan did last year. It was okay. I would say it's okay. It reminded me of Abby Z. So, you know, especially like they would like slide on the ground, you know, in like a way that only a young person would do.
Okay, physical.
Yeah. But it lacked the kind of rigor of Abby's work, and the kind of, like, you can really feel in Abby's work, like, a depth of, like, of working through stuff. But a similar kind of, like, there's some game or, like, understanding happening that we don't really know, that's, like, facilitating the dynamics that are happening. I do think it's important to have costumes when performing, like, amongst people. Okay. I wish that they had had costumes, but they were...
Yeah, that's... Like, it's challenging when they just look like everyone else.
But in a way, it, like, made sense to, like, this kind of urban thing. So, I don't know. Yeah. That happened. Trisha Brown is happening this weekend, if you're inclined to see some free dance.
What do you mean, where?
At 550 Madison Avenue.
Trisha Brown?
On Saturday and Sunday at noon and 2 p.m.
Really?
The schedule.
550 Madison. What are the cross streets?
Park and Madison, 55th Street, I want to say. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
wait. I also want to mention one thing. My friends Ethan and Ned have released some more songs through their band called Days, and it's just so beautiful, and... You should listen to their music, Days, D-A-Y-S, and...
Well, is this on Apple Music? Where is this?
Probably.
Spotify?
I'm sure. All the platforms, I guess.
I wonder if I can add it to this.
Oh, yeah, they would love that.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and I don't know if they have... They probably don't have this out there in the digital world, but they sing a cover of... that Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner song. If I ever think back on old memories like that, or not. You know that one?
Nope.
Anyways, it's just so beautiful, the cover they do of it. It's incredible. Anyways, they have great songs, and I'm a big fan, and I went to their thing in the East Village, and...
Oh, they had a thing?
They had a thing!
That's good. It's nice to go to a thing.
Yeah. I've been missing a lot of line dance this week because of my obligations, and that's okay. I'm feeling like I have to just get used to that feeling.
Did you see Garen Scribner?
Yes, in fact, I was with him all last night at this Illinois thing. And then we left before, you know, the young folks left, and we went and had pizza at some, like, crummy deli place, and then parted ways.
But Garen posted a video of you line dancing somewhere.
Oh, in a park. That? Yes, yes. Garen joined us at Prospect Park on Saturday.
Oh, with your, so not only did you meet up with your line dancing friends, but you did some line dancing together.
Yeah, the line dancing happened before the, like, birthday meetup.
I see.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, spring is here, and summer's close at hand. And really exciting. It's really exciting. Ramps are around.
Well, thank God.
What else are we eating? Gotta find some asparagus. Asparagus is going to be happening.
This conversation.
Looking forward to a yard sale soon. And that's about it.
Okay. You're going to do your own yard sale?
No, I have nothing to sell. I only have things to buy. Things to buy. For free, hopefully. Gotta buy some free stuff. Well, thank you for joining us. It's been...
I'm really sorry, I have nothing
so
to say.
So nice to have you here with us once again on this beautiful, beautiful day. And
yeah.
We'll see you here again next week. Same time, same place.
Okay.
Whenever, wherever.
Okay, I've really lost steam there, everybody, but
I think you died, so we're just gonna be done.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a long week. Alright.
Well, it's the same length as last week.
No. I don't know, some of them just are more stuff, you know?
More stuff.
It's hard to do a lot of different things in a week. It's easy to do a lot of one thing in a week.
Okay. Okay. Easier. I got hung up on easier. But we hope you're having an easy week.
Yeah.
On Easy Street.
Hey, we loves you. Bye.
Goodbye. We loves you. Goodbye. We loves you.